We're going to jump into a different passage today. If you want to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. This is something the Lord laid on my heart this week, and I was going to continue with the study in Isaiah, but I think the Lord wanted this brought forth, so we're going to go with that. Now, I want to use the first four verses of Matthew 16 here as an introduction to kind of set the stage for what we're going to be looking at today. And see if you can catch this, because I'm going to refer back to it at one point in the message. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 1. Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came, and testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, "When it is evening, you say, 'It will be fair weather, for the sky is red.' And in the morning, 'It will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening.' Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times." And Jesus is referring here to them understanding the physical things, but not the spiritual. And that's a big foundation of what we're going to be seeing today. So verse 4, Jesus went on, he said, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it, except the sign of the prophet Jonah." He left them and departed. And you know, I see those last words there, verse 4 is really sad. He was speaking to these people. They've got the word of life standing before them. They could get all kinds of blessing and information from him, but they didn't want it. So he left them and departed. Now let's get into verse 5 here, is where I wanted to start focusing in more. "Now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, 'Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees.' And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'It's because we have no bread.'" So Jesus, he knew how to get their attention. Jesus had just fed all those people. And now these guys, when Jesus mentions the word leaven, their ears perk up. And they think, "Bread, oh, we didn't bring any." So they're thinking that's where he's going. So he knew what they were thinking about and what they were talking about. So he was able to get their attention real easy. And Jesus knows how to get our attention too, because he already knows what we're thinking about, and he knows the things that we've been talking about. So don't be too surprised when Jesus gets your attention, and he can do that in the most amazing ways. Now, verse 6 again. Excuse me, it says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Take heed and beware.'" Notice that word, "of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." So Jesus wanted to tell his disciples something important. He wanted to give them a warning about what to watch out for. And it was the bad teaching of religious leaders. Look at verse 12. He brings that out in the same passage there. "Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Now, verse 7 goes on here, "And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'It's because we have taken no bread.' But they didn't get it." And why not? Well, two things come to mind. For one, they were reasoning among themselves, we're told, instead of asking Jesus. And guys, if we want to find the truth, then we have to go to the truth, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Second thing that comes to mind is that Jesus was talking about spiritual things, but they were talking about physical things. And that's something we need to be careful about, because we don't want to miss the important spiritual lesson the Lord is trying to teach us. So verse 8, "But Jesus, being aware of it," he said to them, "Oh, you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves? Because you have brought no bread." So Jesus is aware of it. You know, when we're thinking about the physical, he's actually trying to get us to think about the spiritual lesson that he has for us. If you want to see this, look at Colossians chapter 3. This is something the Lord instructs us to do. In Colossians chapter 3, and down in verse 1, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So the Lord instructs us, you know, to think about spiritual things and see the spiritual lessons that he's trying to get to us here. Now, when we lean on our own understanding, which is what these guys were doing, they were reasoning among themselves. When we do that like these guys, but we know that Jesus is right there and we could ask him, but we don't. Wouldn't you agree that we are of those who are of little faith, as he says here? You know, we do have some faith because at least we know that Jesus is there, right? We know that. How easy would it have been for these guys to just humble themselves and say, Jesus, we don't get it, so could you please explain it to us? You know, I mean, Jesus is going to help them anyway, even though they didn't ask, because he wants them to get it. But they could have simply asked. And sometimes, you know, we're struggling and we're frustrated and we're running in circles, and we have to stop and say, am I just reasoning among myself, or did I really stop and ask Jesus? He's right here. He said he's going to be in us. He's never going to leave us, right? Now, they were concerned that they brought no bread, they said. But it's not what they don't have that's really important, but what they do have. They have the miracle-working bread giver with them. He is better than any bread. He is the bread of life. Now, let me ask you, do we forget what we have at times? You know, we've got the miracle-working bread giver with us all the time. Jesus said that he would never leave us nor forsake us. That's what you and I have once we have received Christ into our life. So we could ask the disciples the same question that Jesus asked them. Why do you reason among yourselves about your problem when you have immediate access to the miracle-working bread of life, the bread giver? And then we can ask ourselves the same question. So verse 9 here goes on. Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? So the Lord asks this question, do you not yet understand? Well, just hang in there, because if you keep listening to the Lord, you'll eventually get it. Okay, but it's interesting. He said, don't you get it yet? Then he says, do you remember? So when Jesus asked them this, he was reminding them about the miracles they had witnessed with their own eyes. So do you remember how the Lord worked in your life? Some of the things that he did just for you. And as they come to mind, you can just start counting your blessings. And it's perfectly fine if you want to count them out loud in front of other people. I mean, because they need to know that the Lord is real and that he is working in our lives. So verse 9 and 10 again, he says, don't you yet understand or remember the five loaves of the 5,000, how many baskets you took up, or the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many large baskets you took up. So remember how many times that Jesus started with the little that we had to offer and how we used that to reach others and to meet their needs. And think about how many people Jesus may have reached or blessed through us and through our lives. We may not know until we get to glory. And then think about how much was left over, you know, that teaches us that Jesus always provides abundantly and very generously. So Jesus is reminding him of that. I started with just a few things, he said. We blessed a whole lot of people, and you had a whole bunch of leftovers. So it shows the generosity and the abundance of the Lord. He can fix any problem much better than we could even imagine. So verse 11 goes on, how is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Jesus, he sounds amazed that we don't get it, you know, when he's trying to tell us spiritual things. We think the physical is more important, but it's the spiritual that's really important to get. And there's something that convicts me about this as I go through this passage. It makes me realize I need to study a lot more. You know, if we're some of those who are more focused on the physical instead of the spiritual, then we definitely need more faith, as he said, oh, you of little faith. So are we getting the point here that it's not about the bread, It's about the bread giver, Jesus. Now, Jesus will repeat the lesson for us, too, if we need to hear it again, you know, that he wasn't talking about physical bread. He is so patient with us, and he will repeat the lesson until we get it. There was a common problem that the people had back then, and we can possibly have that same problem, too. And Jesus can be talking about spiritual things, but we're thinking he was talking about just physical things. And we can see that in other places too. This isn't the only place the Lord brings this out. Verse 12, then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now they get it. And I don't think that Jesus was going to stop until they did get it. You know, so we can pray, Jesus, please don't stop teaching us until we get it. And then we can thank him for being so patient with us. It's kind of a side note here, but, you know, I think messages like this one today are kind of like feet messages. Because you remember when Jesus went to Mary and Martha's home, and Mary sat at Jesus' feet, and she was just listening intently to him. That's what these kind of messages remind me of. It's interesting just sitting before the Lord and talking to the Lord about things, and he shows things like this from the passage. Now, notice that Jesus said the word beware here. This was a strong warning that Jesus was giving them about the false teaching of religious leaders. Jesus called them hypocrites in that verse we read earlier in verse 3 in this chapter. He said, hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. And these were supposed to be the spiritual leaders of Israel. They could not discern spiritual things. Now, bad doctrine is like leaven in that it can spread. That's the danger. And people can eat it up like bread. So Jesus wants his disciples to see that there is a bad bread out there, and it comes from false teachers. And Jesus even named them here. He pointed them out, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So let me tell you who comes to mind when I look at stuff like this. The name it, claim it, prosperity teachers. They have the kind of leaven that Jesus is talking about here. They can wow you with the scriptures they like to throw around, and they can really get people to focus on the physical, and they may not even realize it. But when it comes to the spiritual, they don't have a clue. They prop up a lot of supposed spiritual principles and laws, as they like to call them, but they are not true godly principles. I mean, look what they have people focus on. Healing and money. Health and prosperity. But didn't the Lord tell us in Colossians 3 not to do that when he says, set our minds on things above, not on things on the earth? Now, if you're taking in the bad bread that these false teachers are putting out, then you need to realize they will gladly give you their bread, but they're really after your dough. And they like to get people to focus on fleshly stuff. And so they are training their unsuspecting disciples to be greedy. And greed is chasing after physical things, not spiritual ones. Let's go on to verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, this sounds like a new topic. It's starting here, but it's actually connected to what we just saw. Now that Jesus has the disciples and us focusing on the bread giver instead of just a loaf of bread, like the ones that Jesus used to feed the thousands there, now he's going to ask them about what they're hearing people say about the bread giver, Jesus. Something to take note of here. Jesus always knew who he was. And I bring that out because there was a movie Hollywood put out some years back, and it made it sound like Jesus was just going along, and all of a sudden he realized one day, I must be the guy. I must be the Messiah. Kind of a Matrix play on there. But Jesus always knew who he was, okay? So he's asking him, who do men say that I am, the Son of Man? So he now wanted his disciples to follow his thinking and for them to come to the same conclusion that the Son of Man is a title, one message, a title for the Messiah. Jesus was definitely a man, and that's what people could see on the outside. But he was so much more than a normal man. He's the God-man, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Verse 14, so they said, well, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Excuse me. You know, people may have a good guess about who Jesus is. They might be in the right ballpark, but they need to know more. It's like the old saying, that's close, but no cigar. Meaning you don't win the prize because you don't have the complete answer. Verse 15, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? The disciples had heard the talk about what people were saying about Jesus. That's because Jesus was making a stir. He was healing people, casting out demons, his amazing teaching. The people were just blown away by that. So yeah, people were talking about Jesus. So let me ask you, what are you hearing people say nowadays about Jesus? Not much. At least back then, people were talking about Jesus. Well, then let's ask a question. How could we get people thinking more about Jesus and talking about him? Maybe tell them about what he's done in your life. You could relate a Bible story. Maybe bring up some testimonies that you have heard about other believers. Or how about bringing up some of the films that have come out about Jesus, like The Chosen? A lot of people know about that. You could ask people, have you ever watched The Chosen? What do you think about it? Or you could ask them about any Jesus film or any movie that has a Christian message in it. And when it comes to getting the right answer, if a person wants to know the truth about Jesus, then they need to ask someone who knows Jesus personally. And that should be you and me. I mean, look what Jesus said to his disciples, but who do you say that I am? They knew Jesus personally. Okay, I kind of have a hard question to ask you. Do you talk about Jesus at all? I mean, he's the bread giver, right? He's fed thousands and thousands of people at one time, and he did that with just a couple of loaves of bread, right? And we know that story. Can you tell that story to someone? Yes, you can. This is where I was going to pick on Rich, because I know he'd jump right in on this one. I was going to say, Rich, can you tell that story to someone this week? And then ask him, will you do that? But wait a minute. You might say, well, what about you, Pastor Chuck? Will you tell someone that story or tell them about Jesus this week? Ha ha, I just did. I told you all. Well, wait a minute. What about someone outside these four walls? I just did that too. Live stream broadcast. I thought that went out pretty good, huh? Verse 16. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So the right answer comes from those who really know Jesus personally. Let me ask you, do you? Do you know Jesus personally? Then you can tell people the truth about Jesus. The people in the world are waiting to hear from you. Verse 17, Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. What a blessing. So when you and I put our faith in Christ to be our Savior, it was actually revealed to us by Jesus' Father who is in heaven. God the Father revealed that truth about Jesus and who he really is to our heart. And we probably didn't even realize that was happening at the time. Isn't it a blessing to know that the same thing that happened to Peter happened to you? So we're supposed to tell people about Jesus, but when they are really humble enough, and that's when they can get it, it's because our Heavenly Father revealed that truth to them. Isn't that amazing to think about? We can carry that message. We can spread it out there like the sower and the seed. And for those grounds and those people who are receptive, that seed takes root and it starts to grow. And it's all the work of the Father. Isn't that amazing? Verse 18, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Now, when Jesus spoke so directly to Peter, he was letting Peter know that God was at work in his life. And Jesus went on to say that on that rock of truth about who Jesus really is, that Jesus is going to build his church on that truth. and his church was going to be so strong and so secure that the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. No matter how much power or how many forces the devil might try to bring against the church, he will never be able to prevail. And we can take special note here. Who did Jesus say was going to build his church? Jesus is. It's not our job to build his church. He said he was going to do that. We can spread the good news about Christ. He tells us to do that. But he builds the church himself. And in the second chapter of the book of Acts, it supports that truth where it says, "And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Beautiful. Verse 19, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Now, when the Lord said that he would give the keys of the kingdom, we have to consider a few things. First of all, Peter was one of the inner circle of three who were very close to Jesus, Peter, James, and John. So he had a special place with the Lord. And Peter had been trained by Jesus personally for 3.5 years. So it makes sense that Jesus would give him the keys, okay? I mean, we think about this. We don't give our children keys to the vehicle until they're old enough we can trust them and they've been trained, right? Secondly, Peter did open the doors of the kingdom to the Jews in Acts chapter 2, and then he opened the doors to the Gentiles coming into the church in Acts chapter 10. The third thing here, and I wonder this too, and I may not be correct in this, but I wonder if the Lord wasn't trying to encourage Peter some, knowing that Peter was going to face the toughest challenge of his life after Jesus was arrested, and then Peter denied Christ 3 times. Now, when Jesus spoke about the binding and loosing, as he says here, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, it was a familiar term to the Jews because the rabbis used it when speaking about the law. A person was either bound to keep a particular law or they were loosed from it, like in the death of a spouse. The surviving widow or widower is loosed from the law of their marriage because they had fulfilled their vows. So in speaking to Peter and the disciples here, he was giving them the permission and the authority to set the rules for the early church. And we saw that early in the book of Acts when they needed some more help and they came up with the idea of having the deacons coming in and helping there. So that's where that began. And they had the authority to do that because of Christ working with them here. And some of those things, too, were laid out for us in the writings of the New Testament as we see the things they were instructing the church, the Holy Spirit teaching them. Now, verse 20, "Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ." So with all of this amazing teaching he gave them and bringing forth powerful truths about who Jesus really is, Jesus then tells them to do what? Notice that he commands them, it says, to tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Well, here's a really important truth. That was then and this is now, okay? Look at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28 is one place we're going to see this. Matthew 28, if you look down to verse 18. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying," this is the resurrected Lord before he's ascended, "all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So that's one place where we see what's called the Great Commission. Look at Mark chapter 16. There's another one here, and it makes it extremely clear. So Mark chapter 16, and we're looking down to verse 15. Mark 16 and verse 15. "He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So this is now. then was don't tell anybody about it, but now it's tell everybody about it, okay? So now we are commanded to tell everyone everywhere. The door is wide open for us to speak about Jesus and tell the good news that he died for our sins. He was buried and he was raised on the third day. So our sins have been paid in full. And by believing that's true, we can receive Christ and receive the gift of eternal life, because eternal life is in Jesus Christ. Now, when we started our passage today, we're going to stop at this point, but when we started our passage today, we saw that the disciples were worried that they had forgotten to take bread along. So, did you forget the bread? And as we saw, it's not really about the loaf of bread. It's about the bread of life, the bread giver. So this coming week, it's okay if you forget the bread. Just make sure you don't forget the bread of life. That is, let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word of truth. I pray, Lord, that you have spoken to us through your Spirit today, Lord, and that all glory goes to you. I thank you, Lord, you're so patient with us. When you tell us things and we don't get it the first time, you're so kind and gracious, you will repeat the lesson until we get it, Lord. So we do pray, Jesus, please keep teaching us until we get it. And we thank you, Lord, that you're always there, and I pray you remind us that when we need help, that we run to you first. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing, and we want to give you the praise for these things. In Jesus' precious name, amen.